Hey folks, this is Justin Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure to appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and energy. Hopefully you get some knowledge out of it. Hopefully it strengthens your faith a little bit, both in God and Jesus Christ, most of all. But even in our country, just a little bit, at least the way we could be, should be. I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you get the chance to talk to somebody else about the podcast and kind of mull things over. That always seems to help them sink in a little bit better. And I haven't said this a long time, folks. Maybe I have. I used to say it quite often on the podcast. You're not going to agree with everything that I say on this podcast. Some of it because I said something wrong, and some of it because I said something right, but you just don't like it. And that's okay. The point is to do the best you can to take what's true and leave what isn't. Anyway. I'm very grateful for y'all. Grateful you come back. Grateful that you share the podcast and tell others about it. Thank you so much. Homestead. Looks like we're going to have sun for a little while, maybe. So a good chance to get some work done if I'm not too lazy. I think the ducks are kind of going to demand it. We're still working on this coop. I told y'all it was going to take a while. And it is. Partly because I had other things that have come up and I had to do, and well, partly for reasons that y'all already know. Laziness, procrastination, etc. I'm pretty good at that sometimes. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us as a nation and as individuals. Forgive us when we don't remember it more often and tell you more often. Thank you for sunshine, bright days, clean water to drink, clothes to wear. Thank you for electricity and power to run our homes for those of us that have it. Forgive us for doing such a poor job, Father, of following your Son's example and commands in caring for the poor and the needy, the widow and the orphan, the least of these. Help us to do better, Father. Help our nation to turn back to you. Help us to find and elect men who rule in fear of you, Father. Be with our leaders, be with our military, be with our law enforcement. Protect them, give them wisdom and courage and a strong faith. Help us to get our education system turned back to you as well, Father. And guide my words here, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible today? Or made time to do it today at some point? Have you prayed? Even if just for a few minutes, folks, 5 minutes, each one, 3 minutes, something, anything. Start with Proverbs. Years ago, that's kind of what led me in. We recorded all 31 Proverbs a month or so ago. You can go look them up on the podcast website and just listen to one of those each day. Try and ignore my voice, but just listen to the content. It's kind of like listening to my podcast in general, actually. Just a few minutes. If you're married, have you made time today? Have you made your spouse a priority, or are you just saying it? Or are you not even saying it? I guess at least that would be more honest. It would be more honest if we weren't going to make our spouses a priority. I actually saw this, and this sounds harsh, folks, but it really is true. It was a national figure. Y'all would know him if I said him, but I'm not going to. But they made the comment that they've noticed that there's so many wives out there today who don't really enjoy being around their husbands. They want their husbands to jump through all these hoops. And all that really translates to is that they just really don't like them. And you know, it's okay to talk about one side or the other. We don't always have to caveat that there's weaknesses that we have as men that y'all don't really have as women, and vice versa. But in this case, it's, folks, it's true across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're a husband or wife. If you don't just enjoy spending time with them, and you're not, part of your day isn't working to please them in whatever manner makes them feel loved, folks, it doesn't matter what it is. I say it all the time on the podcast. It doesn't matter. Bake them a chocolate cake every day if that's what they want. Sit there quietly and hold their hand. Go walk up and down the road. Sit by a fire if it's cool outside. Whatever it is, read together. Read poetry. Read a book instead of getting on a phone or a screen. Have sex. Whatever it is, folks, each day that makes your spouse know that they're your priority, just do it. And quit making excuses. Because this person's comment, what it really is, folks, is if you're not actively with a good attitude loving your spouse each day, you really don't love them. You really just don't like them. And that sounds harsh, but we need some harsh today. We need some just flat out truth. And the reason it sounds harsh to us is because it's true and we really don't like it. You know, Jesus sounded really harsh to a bunch of people. It wasn't his fault. It was theirs. When somebody speaks the truth to us today and we think it's really harsh, it's not their fault. And the tone doesn't matter. It's ours. Anywho, a couple of phenomenal quotes. I wanted to go back to one, though, that we read a couple days ago, just because I think it's so important. It's indicative of the attitude that we had at the beginning of our country, as opposed to what people say today who either don't know what they're talking about or know, and they're being really just evil, honestly. They're just lying. And that is that we were a Christian republic, and we required that of our leaders. It was a requirement, folks. It wasn't, you didn't get the opportunity. No, you don't have a right to be a leader in America, just like you don't have a right to vote the way we were set up, the way we were set up. Right today, you do. I mean, you can, anybody can be a leader. You do whatever you want to do. Anybody can vote. Everybody can vote. Heck, even people who aren't citizens can vote. I mean, we're opening it up for all sorts of people, right? Which is, our founders knew these things were going to happen. They set it up imperfectly, for sure, folks. But, like, there's a reason they didn't want voting to be a universal right unless everybody paid the price. And everybody's not. Everybody's not. But anyway, before I get too sidetracked, the 1776 Pennsylvania Constitution. And I picked it because Franklin, who the left loves to tout as a deist, was one of the ones who helped craft this thing. 1776, so we're in the Revolution. We've already written the Declaration. This is the beginning of our country. And each member of the legislature, before he takes his seat, shall make and subscribe the following declaration. I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked, and I acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration. You had to say that before you could even take your seat as a member of the legislature. We had a requirement, folks. You had to, and you go back to John Jay's comment talking about the fact that it's not only the privilege in this country, it's the duty. in this Christian nation to elect Christians. And of course, he meant Christian men, folks, because they didn't even conceive how twisted we would make the genders today. We don't need women in leadership. We don't need men who don't fear God in leadership in any institution in our nation. We need men who rule in the fear of God. And again, that probably sounds really harsh to a lot of people. I refer back to my earlier comments. Fascinating little bit of history here. Never heard of it. You're going to see why in a minute. I just almost guarantee you it's not taught in 99.9% of the history classes across the country. Or just schools in general. In 1852 to 1853, so about 10 years before Civil War, there was a group that petitioned. They were pushing for the complete secularization of the public square. They wanted all religious activities out of government. Right? Because you remember, at the beginning of our country, we had pastors that would actually preach sermons in our government buildings. They would have church. And you know, just across the board, look at the Constitution that we just read part of from Pennsylvania in 1776. And there's others that we read a while back. So Christ was integral to our nation. And so this group comes along and they tried to do and failed what the left, the people that want God completely out of the country, managed to succeed in doing a century later in 1947 via the Supreme Court and the separation of church and state. So think about that, folks. Think about 1947, separation of church and state. Nobody stood up, not enough to stop it anyway. I mean, that really is something that should have been, no, we're not going to do this all the way through the point of starting a war, because we're just destroying ourselves. I mean, Roe v. Wade, excuse me, swallowed something wrong. Roe v. Wade clearly is an offshoot of separation of church and state in 1947. And we have, up to this point, still counting, slaughtered about 63 million of our own fellow citizens. Even a war in 47, which you have to think probably wouldn't have gotten there because the federal government wasn't going to come in and start a war with a state, especially when they were right in not going along with separation of church and state the way that we have twisted it in the 20th century and 21st. But even a war wouldn't have cost 60 million lives. But going along with that evil did. You think about slavery the same way. So many times people say, well, if our founders had ended slavery during the Revolution, they would have lost the Southern states. They couldn't have, Southern states would have left. Okay, A, we don't know that because we didn't do it. But B, even if we did, who's to say that that wouldn't have worked out better? It almost assuredly would have, because God's hand would have been in it. Maybe it would have saved us from a civil war much later. It certainly would have likely saved many of the slaves' lives over the next 80 years. So, 1852, 1853, this group comes along and says, we want God completely gone. We want Christianity out. This is how Congress, both the House and the Senate, responded. This something similar should have been done with Everson versus the Board of Education decision by the Supreme Court. The Freedom From Religion Foundation today. This ought to be the response. This is an appropriate response. House Judiciary Committee. Had the people during the revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, not any one sect, denomination. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That in its general principles, is the great conservative element on which we must rely for the purity and permanence of free institutions. If you're a Supreme Court justice and you know anything about the history of the nation, explain how you possibly agree to Everson versus the Board of Education in 1947. You don't, unless you're up to something no good. We're going to read that again, just for the people in the back. House Judiciary Committee, responding to people that wanted to kick Christianity out of the public square. Had the people during the revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle, would have fallen apart. It's echoing the words that we've read here so often by Justice Joseph Story in his commentaries on the Constitution, particularly talking about the First Amendment, that if the people had any idea that that First Amendment was going to lower the level of Christianity to other false religions like Islam or Buddhism, Hinduism, Mother Natureism, atheism, right? That they wouldn't have ratified the Constitution. Continuing here, at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged. Not any one sect or denomination, but Christianity as a whole. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. Nothing else substitutes, folks. There's nothing, no law that we can pass, no policy we can make, no politician we can elect, no party we can support. Nothing else will stand in for Jesus Christ, for the principles of Christ. That in its general principles, those principles of Christ, you talk about John Adams' quote, the general principles that we achieved independence on were the general principles of Christianity, is the great conservative element on which we must rely for the purity and permanence of free institutions. And so, if we're going to have these free institutions, liberty, we've got to have those principles of Jesus Christ in our nation, amongst our people. Senate Judiciary Committee also responded. We are Christians, not because the law demands it, not to gain exclusive benefits or to avoid legal disabilities, but from choice and education. And in a land thus universally Christian, what is to be expected, what desired, but that we shall pay a due regard to Christianity? And this goes back to the interview we talked about recently that Tucker Carlson did with, I think it was Doug Wilson, I can't remember, but a pastor. And he said that. He said, look, the solution isn't a new law, basically, or forcing people to follow Christianity. He said the solution, though, is increasing Christianity amongst the population by choice. And then rulers and our public square as a whole reflect that. You don't have to be Christian in order to be American. But if we don't basically universally follow the principles of Christ, we can't have America. That's the way it goes. And that's the way it's been. 1856, House of Representatives again. The great vital and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not Christians because we have to be, folks. We're not Christians because there's a law saying we have to be. But if we don't follow those principles of Christ, we're going to lose. We are losing our republic. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks.